Hi, this is Dan Sheridan. It's a pleasure once again spending time with you in the Word of God. We're going through the Old Testament line by line, studying all of our favorite topics and seeking answers to all the tough questions that we have in the context and flow of the Word of God. And today we arrive at Psalm 7 in our portion of the Old Testament. And let's look right at the beginning here where it says, this is the title, which belongs to Psalm 7, Shigeon. I'm not sure how to pronounce that, so forgive me if I butcher that. It's a Shigeon of David, and I think it means a loud cry. It's a loud cry of David, which he sang unto the Lord. Now notice this, it's concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite. So here's a man named Cush. I don't know who he is. Some think he may be Shimei, another name for Shimei, the man who cursed David out, another Benjamite. I don't know if that's a fact or not, but all I know, it's a man named Cush who was a Benjamite. And so in this, when we read this psalm, he might have been a friend of David at one time who turned on him over Saul. And we'll talk about that as we go through this now. So Psalm 7, it begins, O Lord, my God, in thee do I put my trust, or better, flee for refuge. He flees to the Lord his God for refuge, because he's being attacked here by someone. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Lest he, and the he is referring to Cush, because it's concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be any iniquity in my hands. And so David is probably saying here that if I've done these certain things that I've been accused of, Cush may have been accusing David of these things. And if we, and at least that's what I gather by reading this. O Lord, if I have done this, if there be any iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, or in other words, one who was a friend, or have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. Rotherham translates the parenthetical statement here in the King James as, or have I oppressed my adversary without need? So there's accusations thrown at David, it seems like, by this Cush. He says, if these accusations are true, let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. In other words, if I've done this, I deserve everything I get. He goes, yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. So in other words, may be stripped of my kingship and just, you know, dealt with accordingly. Selah. And that word Selah is a pause. And it's connecting the treading down of David's life in verse 5 with the arising of the Lord in verse 6. So let's look at verse 6. Arise, O Lord. We talked about this word arise. It's referring to a divine intervention, like we saw in Numbers 10:35. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies. Now notice this. The anger of the Lord is directed against something specific. Not some guy in the Congo. Not some guy, you know, up in northern Alaska or something like that. But it's against, his anger is directed against those who are withstanding or standing up against God's established order, and as it's in personified in King David. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment which thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the peoples, that's plural, compass thee about, or gather round thee. Why would they gather around the Lord? Well, to hear his judgments. And here's what it says. For their sakes, therefore, return thou on high. To return on high is to basically take the place as the highest authority and execute your will, execute your judgments. Take the government and rule. So that's what it means to return now on high, and that's at least how I understand it. And in this situation here, it seems like David is going through some trouble, and apparently God hasn't acted. He's allowing events to take their place, to play themselves out. He allows David to go through this trouble, and then he's going to step in and intervene. And he did that a lot in the Old Testament, where he would act visibly, but then sometimes he'd leave men alone. And when things would go their course and they were unfavorable, he'd step in and intervene. It seems like that's what's happening here. He says here in verse 8, the Lord shall judge the peoples, plural, Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. O let the wickedness, or better, lawlessness of the lawless come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and the reins. Now the lawless one here, I believe, again, it's a reference to Cush. He says, my defense, or shield, is of God. God is a shield, which saveth the upright in heart. Or is one translation reads, which is ready to save the upright in heart. I like that. Upright in heart. That's a good quality. Verse 11. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. That's how the King James reads. And I've had people quote this, and I've seen this quote in the past, how God is always angry. Well, no. We live in a dispensation of grace. You couldn't anger God if you tried. I remember some guy standing up saying, if God is real, he'll smite me dead right now. No, you don't do that. That's not how... this is something specific here. Another translation, and a better one, reads, a God to vindicate the righteous ones, and yet a God to be indignant throughout the day. Not today, not today. What is the context here again? Who is God angry with in this? This is an anger against those at a particular time who were rebelling against God's established order. And in particular here, it's a man named... we saw in the introduction here, and I'm turning the page here, pardon me, the words of Cush, the Benjamite, who was rebelling against God because he's rebelling against David, because David was God's man. And to accept David's rule was to accept God. And then it says in verse 12, if he turn not, who's he? Cush. If he turn not, he will whet his sword, referring to God. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He hath ordained his arrows against the persecutors. So God is taking a stand with David here against his persecutors. Behold, he, referring to Cush, travaileth with iniquity or trouble, and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. That's referring to Cush. He, Cush, made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he, Cush, hath made. His, referring to Cush, his mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. So this anger here that's expressed in verse 11 is God being angry every day that Cush is rebelling. And God's going to take care of this man, Cush. And that's why David says in verse 17, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. First time that appears in Genesis 14, verse 18, 36 times in the Old Testament, the Lord Most High appears. And then it says in the at the beginning of Psalm 8 in our common Bibles, and my King James says, to the chief musician upon Gittith, which begins Psalm 8, actually belongs to the end of Psalm 7. And Gittith means related to the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's because it commenced safe dwelling after deliverance. And we know from reading Psalm 7, that's what's happening. There's a deliverance and a safety after David has been persecuted by this man, Cush, the Benjamite, who went after David. And so that is Psalm 7. All right, we'll stop there. And remember, a big part of this is we're reading these Psalms. And I can't give all the interpretation. I'm sure that some of this may refer to the future as well. It could refer to the Kingdom of God era. But I think what we want to do is we want to read these Psalms intelligently and stop using the Psalms like, well, I'll just say it just quite frankly, stop using the Psalms like way Christendom does as almost a devotional book. And the treating the Psalms like devotional readings have just ruined it. And people making decrees of God for themselves as if they were David, and anyone who disagrees with them is their enemy. And that's what happens when you misread these Psalms and don't keep them in their context and in their flow. All right, that's Psalm 7, and in our next study we'll look at Psalm 8, a wonderful psalm quoted many times. I can tell you three times at least in the New Testament where it's... Actually, no, there's more than that. I can see four or five where the next psalm is quoted in the New Testament. We'll look at that next. This is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for listening. Until we talk again, keep searching the scriptures to see whether these things be so.